Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
G'day, good evening, hello, welcome to the Dropped Kickoff for another week. My name is Nick Vasiliev. We are here once again to talk about rugby and chew the fat. And I am joined by Josh Murphy once again. He's a really big deal. Josh, is it raining as hard in your part of the world as it is for me?
Well, the fact that I'm only 20 minutes up the road from you, just sort of going to on that one. But yeah, it's wet enough to close the council field, so no training, but a gym session tonight for the boys. So it's been an interesting start with a good season. So I hope this rain buggers off so we can keep playing and getting through the games this season.
I know. I'm supposed to be playing at Madowry on Friday night. We're supposed to meet up for our regular beer, but it looks like the rain's gonna hold off the season. Who knows? But we've got an interview podcast this week, and I'm super excited, and I know Josh is too, to talk with a certain player. He's just come hot off the victory over the Hurricanes, which is super exciting. It is the one, the only West Harbour Pirate himself, Jack Debrasini. Jack, welcome to the Dropped Kickoff, mate.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure, mate. It's lovely to always talk with players, see how the season's going, check in. And first of all, mate, I mean, congrats on the game on the weekend. Like, it was such a great performance. We absolutely all loved it. What was the vibe? What was the vibe around camp after the game was finished? Was everyone buzzing? Did you guys get on the tins hard?
Nah, not really. There's a lot of tired bodies. The forwards copped a battering. It's quite a physical game. And especially from the week before, there was a lot of, mental energy spent throughout the week, making sure that there was a bounce back after the Blues game. So yeah, everyone was pretty spent after the game. It was good that it was an Arvo game, that you're not up till 3 a.m. in the morning on caffeine gum. Normally that's the case after a night game. So yeah, after an Arvo game, it was sort of better to ease into the night and get to bed at a reasonable time.
I also want to think, like, on that, like, I know that you guys had kind of had a couple of tough reality checks earlier in the season. I mean, that Chiefs game, I think you guys took a lot from it, because you then went on a good round of game of wins, and then you had that tough session against the Blues. Like, to turn around like that is a pretty awesome achievement, and kind of get yourself back into that headspace of, yeah, we can knock these teams off. What was Bernie and the like and all the leadership group kind of saying after that game against in Auckland, where you guys kind of go, all right, we've got to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off? I mean, obviously it's different from being in normal club land, but in a professional environment, what was kind of the first headspaces that went through your mind when you're like, okay, we've got to turn around and actually get the win here?
I think, as well as the disappointment, it's the, I guess, the excitement that you're playing the number one side. So it's a chance to see where you're at. And there's no better time to try bounce back from a game like that against the best side in the comp. So I guess it was first getting over the disappointment of that game and then getting onto the excitement of the challenge ahead, which was welcoming the top side to Canberra. And then amongst the group, I think the biggest lesson from that Blues game was around, if we don't try at least compete or win the physical battle around breakdown, carry, clean, then our game doesn't really have much punch to it. And that's where we felt we just missed against the Blues. They just out-enthused us around the contact areas of the game. And in this comp, if you give away that side of the game, you're on the back foot pretty much from word go. So the whole week was pretty physical. At training, the 15-on-15 was quite tough. Some boys caught it. You know, we played three games last week, essentially. So, yeah, that was the main focus, really. It was simple coming out of that Blues game, that rather than fix 20 things, can we just improve with our physicality on both sides of the ball? And I think we responded quite well with that on the weekend.
And so what did you have to do, Jack, you know, in your own personal mentality, you know, seeing, you know, you've made that transition back into the team for a bit of an injury earlier on in the season and, you know, hoping that's all good, ready to rock and roll now, you know, but how did you see that your transition from the Blues to the Canes? Like, you know, what did you have to do yourself?
Well, I think individually it was, we missed a lot of tackles against the Blues. So individually that's an easy focus point for yourself to ensure that you are making your tackles, and if everyone's sort of focusing on that, that number should drastically reduce from, I guess, the week before. So it's focusing on individual contact, and then the big focus is also around ball carry and not losing your feet. I guess trying to fight through and win that extra yard to get a good go forward. So they're probably the two areas around our carry and our tackle that individually guys are focusing on.
Yeah, excellent.
What was the kind of the process for you? Because, I mean, as alluded to, you kind of have had a bit of a spotty period with injury yourself. I know that kind of making sure you – coming back from injury, I always find – I mean, I think you're speaking to two similar club blokes who've gotten injured so many bloody times, and we're not even a professional athlete. Talk us through that process, because obviously you've got – I know there's a lot of boys all who are usually all in it together as well as that. You're kind of also wanting to try and make sure you get back and get some starting time as well as good support for each other, but you're also in competition with each other as well. What was that process of kind of for you personally getting back to a stage where you were like, yep, I can play again and I'm in a good mental health space to do it?
Yeah, well, I think like if you wind it back from injury, it's important to give yourself time to not grieve but adjust and get come to realization of what the injury will be, what the time frame will be, and it's okay to sort of sit with those emotions to begin with. I think if you do that, you allow yourself to go through the process of, okay, it's happened now, and then start to make a plan. So you sort of start with that, and then, yeah, it just tries to become a weekly thing. You've sort of got a target in the foreseeable future, and it's just weekly trying to get better. It's a good time to – I've always seen it as a good time to improve off the field as well as I guess with your rehab, like you have a lot more time when you're in rehab. You're sort of on a different schedule to the rest of the team. So, trying to pick up different things off the field to help you grow holistically as a person is something I always try to do when I go through times of injury. So, yeah, it was doing that. And then as you get closer to reintegrating into team training, that brings a bit of excitement back into the body that you're nearly timed to play again. And then you just trying to focus on what your role is individually amongst the team in our attacking shapes, defense shapes. And then if you get an opportunity, hopefully you're ready to go.
That's awesome. I think it's a good advice as well for people to break that injury down and, you know, figure out their stage and recuperation coming back into it. And I think a lot of people will get some good information there to be able to hopefully do that themselves. You know, we've seen it in club rugby. I did it last year myself, ruptured the Achilles, and that's, you know, something that I haven't been able to come back from properly.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but that's why I coach, because playing's just too hard now. You know, all to you, Jack. You keep doing it, and I'll keep looking for you, mate, because it's good to watch. But, yeah, look, I guess one thing I wanted to bring up, I brought it up on an earlier pod not too long ago. I said that you should be in a Wallabies camp, and I said that you should be there to sort of give some more of that, you know, that level-headedness, direct line running that you do. You know, there's a part of me that has a soft spot to attend that runs the ball to the line and willing to cop the damage from those lines, as well as delivering that crisp ball. You know, what are your aspirations with that for those, you know, those higher honours, those extras that you're doing at the moment? You know, what does that look like for you for the rest of the season?
It's always been there from when I started. Nearly 10 years ago now, so getting on a bit. But, yeah, that's always been there. But you know that without success at the level below, the opportunities won't come. So all you can really focus on is how well you can perform at Super Rugby level, and that has to come team first. It can't be selfish and try and perform to try to get higher. You've got to put team first. And I believe that through team success comes individual success. So, yeah, the main focus is, I guess, try and do my role, whatever it is, amongst the Brumbies team, and what will be will be. But, yeah, there's always aspirations. I think anyone playing professional rugby or amateur rugby they've always dreamt of playing for the Wallabies if you grew up in Australia. So, yeah, it's always the goal.
Good point that you make on terms of like individual but also collective goals. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, the halves combinations at the Brumbies, the kind of the work that you guys have been building on for a while with Whitey and of course, Noah and stuff, particularly with you and Noah. I mean, of course, you're always trying to fight for that starting fly half position, and I know you got a couple of starts last year and played really, really well. But I mean, how often? What sort of comp? Like, because you're obviously you're wanting to make sure that the team works together, but you're also making sure you're trying to compete as hard as you can for that starting position. What sort of dynamic do you have, for example, with Noah when it comes to like making sure that you put the best fly half for that particular game in front of you out there on the field, and what does that look like?
Yeah, I think we've got a good relationship. I always try to not have friction with other 10s in the team. I mean, that just creates some awkward energy. So, yeah, no, we have a good relationship. We're always talking about, our attacking shape, kick strategies. It's been good listening to him about what he learned when he went over to Toulon recently. He's a really good kid. And he's having a great year so far, which is awesome to see. So, yeah, our dynamic's pretty well. So, we just bounce ideas off each other. I try to help him with a few things around what not to do. I learned a lot of mistakes in my early years of the Rebels. So, I try to tell him, yeah, don't do this because trust me, you'll go wrong. So, we have a good relationship. So things are good. It's pretty lighthearted between me and him. Spent a lot of time together around the club and with our attack shape. So, yeah, it's been good so far the last sort of 18 months being able to work with him.
And like you talk about attack shape a lot, and like, as a 10, attack's probably the biggest priority into succeed in finalising with points. You know, are you spending so much time with your teammates to find that line of attack that just gives you the points all the time? Are you setting up for phase work? Like, for the young players that are sort of learning to be a 10 and they're learning to see that game shape around them, Where does that shape start for a 10? That's probably a good question for them.
Well, I think it starts with your attack coach and being really aligned with him. Essentially, you're the one delivering the message, whether it's in and around training, but definitely then on game day. So you want to have the alignment that you guys are on the same page with how you want to play the game, how you want to attack. I think that's where it starts. And then it evolves into creating relationships with different guys in the team, whether it's your number 8, your number 9, your inside center, your wing fullbacks, and then little like intricacies around your attack shape within that. That's how I see probably attack flowing. And then having an overall understanding of, I guess, set piece and then attack, I think helps you help other guys in the team and where you want them to go to best put yourself in the best position when attacking from certain areas on the field. So that's how I'd probably start, is be super aligned with the attack coach, get really good relationships with the guys you probably either catch the ball off or pass the ball a lot to within the team, and then have a good understanding of different positions on the field and where they are around your set piece, launches, whether it's line out or scrum, be a good place to start.
Yeah, excellent. Well, there's the shout out from Jack. For your young listeners, and keep that in mind when you're waving your own Wallabies flag in the future. That's what we've got to do, right? Get the young bloods coming through and having a crack to take our old foxes' spots, so we can watch the young generation do our job when we're not ready to, they're able to do it anymore. And it's not for the back of trying, I can tell you that. That's the problem with these bodies. So Jack, this weekend, home game. Are you excited? You pumped? Ready for it?
Yeah, against the Drua should be good.
Yeah.
They propose a different threat than probably everyone else in the comp. It's almost like the old, we don't know what we're doing, they won't be able to stop us. So, unbelievable athletes that can offload in any position possible, it seems. Like, even when you've got them covered, they seem to sometimes find their way out of it. So, yeah, they've been a great addition to the comp, I reckon. Like, you see the crowds and the games in Fiji. It's just added a whole new dynamic to Super Rugby. So, it should be an exciting game. I'm sure there'll be plenty of points on board.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. I remember, I think there was a video that went around last year after the game you guys played in Canberra. You're right. It's like it's such a different clash of styles, and it's usually the case if you give Fijians the slightest bit of broken play or an opportunity to do a quick counter-attack, they take it. And it's very different from the traditional style that the Brumbies are known for. But I still remember that this amazing clip of Nick White. I think it wasn't Frank Lomani chatting with Frank Lomani, but with Penny Matawalu kind of giving him some tips about how to be a scrum half like last year. How much have you kind of hung out with those Dural boys, and do you kind of also have picked up some stuff from them, or like, because I know you like all the guys hang out outside of the games as well.
Yeah, I think you meet certain individuals along the way, whether you play with them or verse them, so you create little relationships. And then I play with Frank Lomani, who plays over at Drua when I was at Melbourne, and he's a really good guy. So yeah, I think you just catch up with guys post games, and that was awesome to see last year, Nick helping out one of the nines from Fiji. And I think more of that stuff should happen, like to be open to share IP amongst different guys. I think only betters the game and creates, I guess, better players in the future.
Well, kind of on that point, you kind of alluded to working, you know, with attack coaches and stuff like that, and obviously you'll kind of work on the strategy and the approach to this particular game this weekend, which will be different to what you did previously with the Canes. But, you know, you're lucky in that you've had the chance. You mentioned you did a couple of years at the Rebels, you went over to Japan, you've done a stint in NZ, and now you're at the Brumbies. What kind of stands out in terms of the lessons, because you pick up so many good lessons from all different parts of the world, and what's kind of the key lesson that you've picked up being in Canberra, and what do they do in Canberra that's different? How does it compare to somewhere like, you know, you did a stint over in at the Chiefs for a bit in Japan? How does it compare?
I think what I've learned moving around is that the game can be played so many different ways, and neither is right or wrong. But if you have a clear identity of how you want to play the game and back it, and you get really good at those skill sets, I think it puts you in a really good position to be successful. And that's what I've sort of noticed at different places. Some have been successful and some haven't. And then coming to the Brumbies, I've always felt they've had really good identity on who they are as a club and a franchise. You see coaches come and go, players come and go. And they all seem to fall into how the system works here at Canberra. It's not like they come in and change things. You know, there's small changes from coach to coach, but systematically throughout, I guess, a long time here at the Brumbies, they've been very good at set piece, very good at the breakdown, and extremely hardworking. And I think that's probably a rare thing in Australian rugby. Especially my time at the Rebels, I can talk about that we always changed. Well, we never really knew who we were. Obviously, a new, fresh, young club. We never knew who we were. We were always changing what our identity was. And it felt hard to sort of have a gauge on what, I guess, the ideal Rebel person was, or an ideal player, or what it meant to be a Rebels player, where you've come to the Brumbies and you see guys who live that day in, day out, like Alan Alito, our captain, who's been here for 10 years. And obviously he learned that off players that he grew up with or played with when he was a youngster. And then that gets passed on from generation to generation. So, yeah, that's been awesome coming to the Brumbies. And you sort of just try fit into the system and then learn your way and learn what it means to be a Brumbies player.
Umbridge.
So kind of looking ahead to the rest of the season, because you've got a couple of really good clashes coming up. I mean, there's the TAR clash in Sydney after the Drua game. You've got the Crusaders as well back down in Canberra. I know that a lot of coaches and stuff, they always like to, I think, focus on stints. You look at opportunities to kind of string games together, opportunities to pull, game momentum, get things going, iron out last structures. What does this run home look like? What is kind of the mood in the headspace at Brumbies HQ when you look at the games ahead, you know, because you do have some away trips. You've got a couple of tricky games. I know that even going over to Perth sometimes can be a tricky place to win. Looking at for on the run home, considering where the Brumbies are sitting, what's kind of been the communications from the likes of Bernie and the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty exciting challenge on the run home. Obviously, Drua this week's an awesome opportunity, a big game. It'll test us probably in different ways than we had before around unstructured turnover ball. And then going to Tars is always a big match, like I guess gets stated a lot of times, playing up in Sydney. And then we got the Crusaders, which will be the, I think it'll be the 20th anniversary game for the team that won in 2004. And that's another day game, which is quite exciting. Hopefully a good turnout there. And then we finish with the Rebels and Force. And like I said, Rebels are travelling really well at the moment. So that'll be a real tough test. And then the Force away, we lost that game last year and got our pants pulled down. So that's, I think, a big one as well, heading over there just for potentially playing finals. So, yeah, no, it's a good stretch. And we'll be able to see, we'll be challenged over those next 5 weeks. So, yeah, we're excited to try finish this season well and then hopefully launch into the finals with a good momentum.
Any personal goals that you want over the next 5 rounds before we get into finals? You know, a couple of extra threes in there, a bit of a tally to your existing point scoring throughout the season. You know, floating 25-metre left or right in the corner for Tool. You know, what do you need to do?
well, it's probably just stay on the field and stay healthy. Been a frustrating year so far with injury. That's probably the main goal at the moment, is just continuing to get the body right. I slowly feel better and better every week. And yeah, just get more minutes under the legs and then see where we land finals time. And once you have a shot, you just got to try to give it your best shot.
No, absolutely love it. Jack, is there anyone that you want to shout out or do anything here on the drop kickoff today and say hi to? We'll definitely be sharing it around, of course, so everyone on the platforms.
Well, you mentioned the Pirates, just everyone at the Pirates family in Sydney.
Yep.
One of the great clubs, the Tampa Pirates. So, yeah, all the best this weekend to those guys in the Shoot Shield.
I'll send Tree and Gutto the text message shortly to jump on the board for it.
Personal shout out, I know that there's obviously been a bit of transition because obviously Laurie's no longer at the Brumbies. He's a personal favourite of ours. Yep. Listen to that man chat all day. I've been kind of lucky to bend Matt Tamua's ear on a couple of the stories that he's told us about Laurie. Have you got a funny story a bit from the Lord?
Probably my favourite story of Lord is he's a rhesus lover. The beer rhesus, he loves it. And like he's like hailed it as their king on like a couple of Facebook pages. They love the Lord. So that's probably my favourite thing about Lord is he's got a big following of rhesus drinkers all across New South Wales and Australia who adore him, which makes him even more full of, I reckon.
Yeah, mate. He's probably single-handedly keeping the beer going.
Potentially.
Hey, I look for it on tap too. That's a real country beer, that one. You don't find it in the city anywhere these days. So
yeah, if I was Resch's, I'd create a bucket hat real soon and send it off to Lord to wear.
Oh, yeah.
Jack DeBrazzini, though, you heard it here first. He owns the IP. You must purchase the agreement from him.
That's it. Maybe I'll create my own.
Yeah, that's it, 100%.
As a final question, because I know that you're a busy bloke, you've got games to prepare for, many a gym session to do, and unlike poor us, you do have to play in the rain. what does success look like for Jack DeBrasini in 2024? And I'm talking not necessarily like, you know, on the field, but also off, because I mean, like, on that point, it's been a frustrating year, injury, challenges like that. What does success look like for Jack DeBrasini?
I think success looks like, from a rugby point of view, is getting back to being fit and healthy as I possibly be. And hopefully we have a lot of team success with the Brumbies. I really do mean that. Like, team success means more than individual success for me, especially at this point in my career. Still chasing a championship. So I think that's number one in priority from what success looks like on the field. I mean, off the field, it's just coming towards the end. So I'm just making sure that I'm as best set up as possible off the field to hit the transition ground as best I can be when it does come. So yeah, they're probably the two areas that if I can tick off a few goals of those, that'll be successful for me.
Well, when you transition to the point where you just want to play socials, you know, Jack, and you don't want to have any...
I'll come up to Newcastle. I've got some mates in Newcastle, so I'll come up for a game.
Medallion, we'll get you on there. Don't stress.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty nice ground, actually. You should hear there. If for anyone listening, I'm not gonna. I can see Josh already going. I know where you're going with this. You should hear their
tick. Just Google it.
I'm just gonna say, just Google it and leave it at that. Because my God, it is something else. Also, I'll shout out. I know you're with Uni Norths when you're not playing with the Brumbies down in Canberra, aren't you? You're affiliated with them. Mate of mine, Jacko, plays down there as well. He's a prop. Used to play Australian Indigenous schoolboys, so if you run into him down there, he'll give you a. He'll probably be like, "Yeah, I know him. I know that boy." Do you reckon you'll get down to Uni? Get down to the Oval?
Yeah, I think me and my housemate might head down on Thursday night to watch him train, which would be good. But yeah, they're a great bunch of guys. I was able to put on the jersey the back end of last year once Super Rugby finished, and yeah, we had it was a very very enjoyable day. And very enjoyable week with those guys. So yeah, good club, one of the best in Canberra.
Yeah, it is. One day they'll get the trophy eventually. One day, I know John Dent. Yeah, there's been a long time between drinks for John Dent. But if Queen Bean can do it, they can do it. That's I believe.
That's it. That is true.
Yeah. Honestly, Jack, we could chat to you all day. Honestly, it's rugby. Of course, we would. But unfortunately, I know we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, mate. It has been a pleasure. And honestly, good luck for the rest of the season. We're keen as a bean. We are absolutely loving you guys smashing it. And hope for an awesome run home and hopefully a successful finals campaign.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been awesome having you on my show. Having you on the show, sorry. Not my show, your show.
It can be your show if you want.
Yeah, maybe I'll come on.
You'll probably get more likes on Twitter if it's your show tonight. But, you know,
yeah, confirmed.
Nah, cheers, thanks, guys. Been awesome. Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself enough for cut.